would just say, hey, I'm going through some things. Yes, that most of us with a pulse this morning. Amen. Just when we think everything is going good, we break a leaf spring, right? And then we're going down the road kind of sideways a little bit. But thank God they're still making them. Amen. Maybe you've been going through things for a long time. And yet this morning, you're wondering when this, or maybe is this even ever going to end? Anybody in that camp? When is it going to end? Listen, it will. It will. I got good news for you. Listen, because Jesus rose from the dead, we have, in fact, a living hope that will carry you and I through every trial, every bit of tribulation, everything that the enemy would throw before us, anything and everything that gets in our way. I tell you, there's a living hope that will carry us through every trial until one day, as we've sang about this morning, we'll see Him face to face. Amen. One of these days. Turn with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I've only got 7 pages of notes, so don't get nervous. We'll make her to lunchtime. First Peter chapter 1, drop down to about verse 3. And if you're there, if you just stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Father God, I pray right now, God, before another word's even spoken through this message, Lord, that you would visit your people. Lord, that you would cause us to rejoice it with joy inexpressible and full of glory, that even though we're going to go through some trials, even though we're going to be tested, even though we are going to have to be grieved and various trials and all these kinds of things, Lord, because of our steadfast faith in you, Lord, we can have that joy full of glory and receive the end of our faith, the salvation of our soul. So now, God, I pray for that very end in this room today. I pray to that end across the web of the internet, Lord, all around the world, that, Lord, that we would in fact receive the end of our faith, the salvation of souls, that souls all around would be saved and redeemed, Lord, by your Holy Spirit and through your blood in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We live in a world that is a mess. I mean, you don't have to look very far to come to the reality and the realization that where we live in this world, the curse is obvious, right? I mean, it's obvious that everything is just a mess. Our world is searching for hope. People are hoping for better health. People are hoping for a better economy and better jobs and a better future. We're stuck on the news. Always watching the news, looking and hoping to hear something encouraging come across the television that would say, hey, things are getting better, but I got news for you. It's not going to come through the television. It's going to come through the Word of God. Amen. That's where the good news is going to come from, is from the Word of God. That's where our better future is. We have a hope and a future in glory. The economy in God's kingdom is far better than anything we can ever imagine. I mean, they paved the streets with gold there. That's a pretty good economy, don't you think? How many of you realize this morning that worldly hope is often just wishful thinking? Worldly hope is often just wishful thinking. But here, biblical hope is that confident expectation that is based upon none other than the promises of Almighty God. Listen, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen? If you don't like my driving, stay off the sidewalk. We have confident expectation based on the infallible truth of God's Word. His Word has never went wrong. His Word has never gone bad. His Word has never turned around. Peter writes in this letter to believers that are absolutely facing persecution. They've lost their homes. They've lost jobs. They've lost friends. They've lost all their security. But Peter doesn't begin by talking about their problems. Peter doesn't begin by talking about their problem. He begins by talking about the Savior. Amen. How many of you know we need a deflection? We need a refocus. We need to get our eyes off the problem and on to the problem solver. His name's Jesus. He begins to talk about the Savior. And sometimes the greatest encouragement is not hearing, hey, things are going to get better. Sometimes it's hearing Jesus is still on the throne. He's still in heaven. He's still on the throne. Listen, everything has to go through Him before it gets to you. And so if it's got to you, it's because it's past Jesus and He said, I think my child can handle it. How do I know that? I know that because He's endued you with power. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 talks about it. You've been endued with power. Our hope this morning, church, has a living source, a source that is in fact alive. And in verses 3 through 5, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, listen to this phrase, has begotten us again. What happens when something has to happen again? It's already happened once, right? They've already experienced it once. They've already went through it once. And here Peter's like, listen, I'm telling you, according to His abundant mercy, He has begotten us again. He is to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you've blown it, it ain't over. If you're still not healed, it's not over. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to an inheritance that is incorruptible. Moth and rust and robbers and thieves can't get in. It's an incorruptible. It's undefiled. It doesn't fade away. It's reserved for you in heaven. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at last time. Listen, Peter begins by worshiping. Peter begins by worshiping. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that how you woke up this morning? Did you wake up this morning and said, oh, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or did you say, oh, God, it's morning again? I didn't get enough sleep. Lord. Before he discusses suffering, he begins to praise God. Why? Well, I'll tell you, because our hope is not based on our circumstances. Our hope is not based upon circumstances. It's based upon the mercies of God. Notice there's a progression in this passage. God's mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. Without Jesus Christ, we are living in a dying world that's just going to die. But because we have a living hope in Jesus Christ, I can face tomorrow. Why? Because I know who holds tomorrow. Christianity. This might come as a shock to some of you this morning. But Christianity is not merely turning over a new leaf. It's about receiving new life. Jesus didn't come. This is probably going to come as a shock to some of you as well. But Jesus did not come to make bad people better. He didn't come to make bad people better. You want to know what he did? He came to make dead people alive. He came to make dead people alive. Ephesians chapter 2, the first five verses. I hope you don't mind the scripture because I got a bunch of it this morning. This is what it says. And you, us, you, he specifically is talking to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesians, but and he was talking to them and he says, and you, but because it's in God's word, it's to us as well, right? He says, and you, he made alive who were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, but God. One of the best buts in Scripture. But God. Who is what? What do we think about when we think about somebody that's rich? They ain't lacking nothing. I mean, they've got everything they could ever hope for or even imagine. And the God we serve is rich and not in, I mean, even though, yes, he's rich in those all those other things. But aren't you glad that he's rich this morning in mercy? Huh? Aren't you glad that he's rich in mercy and because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when you were dead in trespasses and he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. That's me, that's you. He made us to be alive. What makes this living, what makes this hope living? I'll tell you what makes it living. It's because Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is alive. If Christ remained in the tomb, if he remained in the tomb, our hope died there too. Let that sink in for a minute. If Christ remained in the tomb, then our hope died there too. But let me tell you, the empty tomb means that forgiveness is alive. It means that grace is alive, that salvation is alive, that hope is alive. Listen, as long as Jesus lives, my hope, your hope, our hope will never die. Because he's a living Savior. He's not a dead. Listen, Buddha's in the grave. Confucius in the ground. Hare Krishna, whoever, they're in the grave. But Jesus went through the grave. He ain't in the grave no more. He's not there. As long as Jesus lives, my hope and our hope will never die. There's many, many years ago, families would receive telegrams announcing the death of a loved one in war. Imagine instead receiving another message that says, your son was thought to be dead, but he's alive. Now, all of a sudden, everything changes, and the because who I thought was dead is now alive, and all of a sudden, everybody's happy. That's what the resurrection did. It changed everything. The resurrection changes everything. And when Peter describes our inheritance, he says it's imperishable. You ever put a banana out on the counter? Forgot about that thing? Huh? All of a sudden that thing, I mean, if you buy them like at Walmart, you usually buy them, they're about the color of these plants up here, green as a gourd, man. Let them sit around for a while, they start to turn yellow, the green begins to fade. If you don't get on them when they're yellow, pretty quick. Pretty quick, they're banana bread. Quit that. Pretty quick, they're black. You can just cut one end of it off and just squeeze it like that, and it just... You know what I'm talking about? It's perishable. My point is that bananas are perishable, apples are fruit and stuff. But listen. Our inheritance is imperishable, and it's undefiled, and it doesn't fade. You leave something out in the sun too long, it begins to fade. I got news for you. Our inheritance does not fade. It is reserved in heaven for you and I. Everything on earth wears out. Cars rust. Homes decay. Money disappears. Health declines, but heaven never depreciates. Heaven never depreciates. And even better, Peter says, God's not merely guarding our inheritance, He's guarding us. He's watching over us. My security is not found. Listen, somebody needs to hear this morning, okay? Your security, our security is not found in our grip on Christ. Hello? Our security is not found in our grip on Christ. Our security is found in His grip on us. Amen. And I got news for you. He's got a hold of you. John chapter 10, 28 and 29 says, and I give them eternal life that they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. How many of you know He's all powerful? Do you understand what that's saying? If He's all powerful, there's nothing on earth that is powerful enough to snatch you out of His hand. Why? Because He's got a hold of us. Max Lucado, one of my favorite authors, wrote a book, In the Grip of Grace. I'm telling you, grace has got a hold of you. God has got a hold of you and I, and it might not look all that good right now, but I'm telling you, your security is not in your grip on Christ. Your security is His grip on you, and He ain't turning you loose for love nor money for nobody else. It doesn't make any difference. He's got a hold of you. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7. In this greatly rejoice. Do you know what it means? It's been too long since I talked about rejoicing. Do you even know what it means to rejoice? Do you know, what do you think about when you think about rejoicing? Woo! Touchdown! Home run! That's not rejoicing. The literal definition of to rejoice is to spin violently. To spin violently. What is that talking about? It's talking about if you're bound up by everything, you can only spin so far. But when you rejoice and you begin to be broke free from all of those things, you begin to spin. You can spin around unhindered. You can rejoice. He says, you rejoice greatly, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith. How's your faith this morning? How's your faith this morning? Do you have faith when all hell's coming against you? Do you have faith when it looks like I'm not going to win? Do you have faith when the doctor says you're going to die? There's no hope for you. You just, well, whatever it is. Where's your faith now? Listen, faith isn't activated when everything's going great, is it? I mean, faith is, yeah, you're not even acting on faith because I got everything. Everything's going great. It's when the chips are down. It's when everything's coming against me. It's when I don't have enough to make ends meet. It's when things are just in an upheaval and in an uproar. And now it's like, I got nothing else to do. And so now, I mean, I've called every doctor. I've called every bank. Right? I guess I have to talk to God. I mean, I've taken all the medicine. Right? I'm not saying don't take medicine. I'm not saying that at all. But how many times am I guilty and are you guilty and are we guilty of doing everything that on earth? And then we go to God. Nothing else worked. Now, all right, nothing else worked. I'm going to have to go to God. Like He's been too busy all day to deal with you. He's just sitting there going, wonder how bad this is going to have to get before they come to me. Can I get an amen from somebody? He ought to be first. He ought to be first. In this, rejoice greatly. Now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith being... Your faith is much more... does it dawn on us this morning that my faith is more precious than gold? Than riches? That thing that you and I can act out and act upon is my grace and my faith, and is more precious than gold that perishes, and even though tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ. Peter says this. He says, you rejoice, though now for a little while, and you have been grieved. I want to show you something this morning. I want you to notice that both truths exist together. Joy and sorrow can exist together. We are not called to fake happiness. How many of you know there's a difference between being happy and having joy? On your darkest day, you can have joy. You might not be happy, but you can have joy. We can cry and we can rejoice simultaneously. Have you ever cried about something that you're just so happy about that you're just crying? I mean, that's like an oxymoron in the world, but we get it. We understand it, right? Peter begins to compare these trials to gold that's refined by fire. Fire doesn't destroy gold. You know what fire does to it? It removes the impurities. It removes the impurities. God often uses trials in your life and mine to reveal and to refine genuine faith. What does genuine faith look like? When you pray about something and it doesn't begin to happen, if your faith isn't genuine, you'll shift gears and you'll go a different direction. Right? But genuine faith stays the course. God uses trials to reveal and to refine that kind of faith. And I want to show you three truths about trials. Number one, trials are temporary. Hello? Trials are temporary. He says, for a little while, even if suffering lasts for years, compared to eternity, it's brief. Paul calls it... a light and momentary affliction in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Trials also, not only are they temporary, but trials have a purpose. Trials have a purpose. They're not random. They're not random. Nothing enters the believer's life apart from the loving hand of Almighty God. Romans 8 and 28 says this, and we know. I don't think some of us... Maybe no, but according to God's word. It says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Who's He talking about? Careful how you answer that. Be careful how you answer that. Because He is talking to all of us. And so if He's talking to all of us, we have to recognize this morning that all of us have a call on our life. All who are called according to His purpose. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And it's not just coming to church and sitting on your backside of your lap. Hello? God doesn't waste anything. All things work together. It's true that trials reveal genuine faith. Trials are temporary, trials have a purpose, and trials reveal genuine faith. Anybody can praise God on payday. But what about when there's too much month at the end of the money? Now what do we do? Anybody can praise God on payday. Anybody can praise God when we're healthy. Faith shines the brightest, however, on the darkest night. Anybody drink tea? Let me tell you a little something about tea. I'm not an expert, but I'm smart enough to know this. A tea bag never reveals what's inside of it until it's placed in hot water. Anybody been in hot water? Hot water will begin to reveal what's inside of you. You're kind of like a tea bag. When the water gets hot, it starts oozing out. A tea bag never reveals what's inside until it's placed in hot water. Trials reveal what's inside our heart. Let me try and wrap this up, or at least put the landing gear down. Our hope this morning centers on an unseen Savior. Our hope centers on an unseen Savior. Verses 8 and 9 says, whom having not seen. We haven't seen Christ, but yet we love Him, right? Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your... Listen, one of these days He's going to come. Maybe morning, noon, or night. Might be in a foxhole, might be at Walmart. Might be on the lake, it might be up on a mountain somewhere. Might be fighting fire, might be digging a ditch. I don't know, but I know this. One of these days He's coming. He didn't say He's going to let us know that He's coming, other than He's already let us know that He's coming. But what He did say is be ready, because the thief comes when you least expect him. So just get ready, just be ready. If you're ready, you don't have to worry about it. Is that right? It's an amazing thing. Whom having not seen you love, though now you don't see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Man, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Peter says, you have not seen Him, yet you love Him. The amazing thing is that Peter had seen Jesus, but his readers hadn't. What's even more amazing, neither have we, yet millions love Him. In fact, millions have placed their faith in a God that they've never seen before. Trusting Him that He's preparing a place for you and I in some place called heaven. Remembering that He said, hey, listen, if I go, I'll prepare a place. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. Faith isn't believing, church, without evidence. Faith is not believing without evidence. Faith is trusting God's trustworthy testimony. Show me in Scripture where God's blown it. No, can't do it because He hasn't blown it. Faith isn't believing without evidence. It's trusting the trustworthiness of God's own testimony. We love Christ because His Holy Spirit has opened our eyes. And Peter describes joy inexpressible and full of glory. When was the last time you were so filled with joy you just couldn't contain yourself? Nobody? We in trouble. Joy. It isn't happiness based on circumstance. It's joy rooted in Jesus Christ Himself. Joy survives cancer. Joy survives unemployment. Joy survives grief. And the reason why is because Christ survives all of it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. And I'm the only one that knows that song. And that's all I know of it, so. Listen. Christ survives it all. So what is then the goal of our faith? What is the goal of our faith? I'll tell you what it is. It's the salvation of our souls. The salvation of our souls. Salvation isn't merely about escaping hell. It's about belonging forever to Jesus Christ. Missionary Corrie Ten Boom once observed this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Think about that. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And it reflects what we've been talking about here this morning with perfection. Where have you placed your hope? Where have you placed your hope? If your hope is in politics, you're in trouble. If you're waiting for the Congress to put aside the filibuster so things can get done, so that we can be happy, you're in trouble. If you're waiting for President Trump or any president to come or any president that's ever been here to make things all right, you're in real trouble. The only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. Your hope does not rest in politics. Your hope doesn't rest in your retirement or your health or your family. Those things all can disappear. You can go to the doctor tomorrow and receive a bad report. You can go to the bank tomorrow to find out that somebody is drained your account. You can go to the job tomorrow and see closed on the door. You done lost your job. Our hope has to be anchored in Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't going to change. He's going to stay the same. Our hope must be remain in anchored in Christ. If you're walking through the fire today, there's a country song that says, if you're going through hell, keep on going. You might get through it before the devil even knows you're there. Amen? Oh my goodness. If you're walking through the fire, remember this. Fire is not evidence that God has abandoned you. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went through the fire. Their attitude about the fire was, hey, if it burns us up, okay. Put us in there. It doesn't make any difference. We're still not going to serve you and bow to you, Nebuchadnezzar. Remember this, the fire is not evidence that God has abandoned you. It may be evidence that God is refining you, however. And for those without Christ, Peter says this living hope comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't have hope this morning, it might be because you don't have Jesus Christ this morning. Without Him, there's no living hope. There may be optimism. You might be optimistic. You might see the glass half full all the time. But optimism is not biblical hope. The same Savior that conquered death is sending out an invitation to you today. He says, turn, repent, trust Him, receive the new birth that only He can give. Remember, Nicodemus was struggling with it in John chapter 3. He's like, how in the world can a man be born again? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb? Jesus said, no, that ain't how you do it. He said, you must be born of the Spirit of God. There must be some new life. There must be something happen in your life. Come on, Kathy. See, we need to turn and trust and receive the new birth. Peter knew what it meant to fail. Trust me, Peter knew. Peter knew what it meant to be an abject failure. But he also knew what it meant to repent and to be restored. Don't ever forget that. He denied Jesus three times. Three times. And to make it even worse, Peter told him, or Jesus told Peter, you're going to reject me. And Peter's like, there's no way. How many of you have been in Peter's shoes? There's no way. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. I'll never do the other thing, only to do the other thing and that and this and the other thing. Peter knew what it meant to fail. He denied Jesus three times. And yet the risen Christ restored him. Restored him. That same Peter is now writing this letter about a living hope. Listen, if anybody had hope, it was Peter. Peter had experienced it. Peter's writing about a living hope because he had experienced it firsthand. Let me just, listen, if you don't hear another thing that I say, if you haven't heard anything that I've said this morning, I want you to hear this. Your past does not define your future. Somebody needs to write that down in the leaflet of your Bible. Your past does not have to define your future. You know how I know? I know because of this. I know because Jesus lives. I know it because hope lives. I know it because His mercies are new every morning. I know it because, like Peter, He never gave up on me. He's restored me over and over and over and over. And so many of the rest of you in this room this morning, He's restored you over and over and over. Many years ago, there was a ship and it was caught in a violent storm and there was dense fog and it hid every landmark. The passengers were fearful. They were afraid. They thought, well, we've probably drifted off course. And yet finally, through the darkness, the captain spotted a steady beam of light from a lighthouse. But he didn't rejoice because the storm had ended. He rejoiced because he knew exactly where he was and where he needed to go. See, that's the beauty of a lighthouse. The lighthouse didn't remove the storm. It guided them safely through the storm. His Holy Spirit is here today to guide us through these storms. He's our living hope. He doesn't promise a life without storms, but He does promise that His presence through the storm and for you and for me, and He promises a secure destination beyond the storm. He'll bring you into the safety of the harbor Amen? Let me tell you something about harbors while we're on the subject, Mr. Sailboat Man. Your boat was not meant to stay in the harbor. You go in the harbor to resupply and to maybe fix some things or get, you know, this, that, or the other. But after you've spent your time in the harbor, you're called back out to sea. So we can't just stay in the harbor. But we know that there is a harbor called heaven, and it's certain. And when we get in that heaven, when we get in that harbor, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Every need is met. Everything that needs healed is healed. Every burden that you brought this morning, I want to challenge you to bring it to the risen Christ. If you know Him, let it renew your confidence in the living hope that can never perish. If you've never trusted Him, whether you're here this morning or whether you're watching by way of the internet today, today can be the day that you're born again to a living hope. If you have no hope, if you don't know what tomorrow holds, I know who holds tomorrow. And I know that if you'll call on the name of Jesus Christ, He will come and He will redeem you. He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll begin to prepare a place for you. He'll begin to do things in your life that you have never even imagined. You can be born again to a living hope that is through faith in the crucified and risen Savior. Death couldn't hold Him. The grave couldn't hold Him. Pilate couldn't hold Him. I'm so grateful today that the God we serve, the Savior we call on, you know where He is right now? He's at the right hand of His Father. And you know what He's doing? He's sitting there taking a nap because He watched the fireworks last night too. You know that's not true. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He's at the right hand of God right now, and here's what He's doing. The Bible says He's making intercession. He's praying for you and for you and for you and for me and for us and for our city and for our county and our state and our world. He's praying, God, Holy Spirit, touch them in such a way that they cannot sit still any longer. That they will open their heart and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Listen, I'm going to tell you straight up, you'll not be perfect the moment that you surrender your life. I'm not saying you won't have any trials or tribulations. The opposite can be very true. But I can tell you one thing, you will have a hope secured in glory. You'll have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You can be born again and walk out of this place saying, listen, I might have came into this place a mess, but I'm walking out of here a redeemed mess. Amen. I'm walking out of here saved, sanctified, and set free by the power of the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. And my prayer this morning is don't leave this house simply thinking, I need more hope. Don't leave here thinking, I need more hope, because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, you don't need anything else. You have it all. You have it all. You need to walk out of this place proclaiming with the Apostle Peter, blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Bow your heads with me this morning. Bow your heads. Bow your hearts. Church, begin to pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You're a great God, and You're greatly to be praised. And I think what a day it's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day. What a glorious day that's going to be. There'll be no sorrow there. There'll be no parting over there. Where forever I will be with the one who died for me. A man named Jesus. He didn't think I was too bad to be redeemed. He said, I got just the thing for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying all around this place right now. If that's you today and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I've never given my life to the Lord before, but I need Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray with you right now. Maybe you're watching by way of the internet. If that's you, if you would just type something on there and say, hey, I need salvation. I see your hand, ma'am. You can put it down. God is doing a work, church. Maybe, like I said, on the internet, you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube or whatever, and you're saying, man, I wish I was there. I wish you could pray for me. If you'll just type it in there and hit send, I guarantee you we will pray for you. And if you'll pray along with me in just a moment, you can get just as saved sitting in your pajamas at home as you can in a three-piece suit in this church. Maybe you're here today. You say, Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus at one point, and the storms raged and the winds blew and the waves came and I got blew completely off course. And now I find myself today out of fuel. My sails are all torn up. I just got these masts sticking up in the air and they don't catch much wind and I'm just adrift at sea. But I'm reminded of a safe harbor named Jesus Christ. And God, if you by your Holy Spirit could just come and save me one more time from this storm. If you could redeem me, forgive me, write my name one more time in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, I'll do my best to serve you with whatever life I have left. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus Christ today. I don't want to take any chances. I want to recommit, rededicate my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up today. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Somebody else, say, Preacher, that's me. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Somebody else, Preacher, that's me. Anybody else today, say, yeah. Again, maybe you're watching by way of the internet. Just drop us a note and then pray this prayer with me. If you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to come. Come to this altar right now. Don't wait. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. Just get up and come. Come on. Just get up and come. I got people that want to pray with you. Come on.